The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
The previous 2 weeks, Dawn and I covered part of wise effort. Not the previous 2 weeks. Last week, Nisha was here. She did something else. But the previous 2 weeks that Dawn and I were here, I offered an intro to the topic of wise effort. And then Dawn talked about the first two of the four great efforts. And so to be able to follow these lectures separately, I'll offer just a very brief recap, which is also a refresher for those who were there. And so wise effort is part of the Noble Eightfold Path. It's the sixth path vector. And wise effort consists of four parts, the four great efforts. And the first great effort is to make an effort to avoid unwholesome and unskillful thoughts and mental states that have not yet arisen. The second great effort is making an effort to remove or abandon the unwholesome and unskillful thoughts and mental states that have already arisen. And the third great effort, which we'll go into today, the third and the fourth, the third is generating and cultivating wholesome and skillful thoughts and mental states that have not yet arisen. And the fourth one is to maintain and nurture those wholesome and skillful thoughts and mental states that have already arisen. And so often in meditation classes, for example, we focus most on the unwholesome and how to deal with unwholesomeness in our lives, like desire and attachment on the one side, and also resistance and sorrow, fear and anger, and all these kind of emotions on the other side. All sorts of emotions and feelings that we often experience as unpleasant. And like very naturally, we want tools to deal with those unwholesome and unpleasant feelings and emotions. So often there is this kind of a little bit of a focus on teachings, on tools, on how to deal with these kind of mind states. And we all maybe experience that sometimes the unwholesomeness or the unpleasantness just temporarily fades away, and that there is just a natural arising of wholesome aspects of the mind and heart. Like a natural arising of joy or love or peace or contentment or relaxation or other states that we experience as pleasant and wholesome. But what the Buddha actually encourages us in the four great efforts is that we don't always have to wait for this unwholesomeness to drop away on its own, and that we can and sometimes maybe should be a bit more active. And so it's not always a good idea to be a bit more active. Sometimes it's helpful to remain in this unwholesome state of being, to observe it, to learn from it, to gain wisdom. That's all, you know, very valuable. So that's the part of cultivating more wholesomeness and nourishing that is not intended to stop this this vital role of being mindful of what is, whether wholesome or unwholesome. And this resilience of being with what is difficult as well. So developing mindfulness and learning from unwholesome states is in itself actually really wholesome. And the quality of mindfulness is wholesome. So even if there are unwholesome states of mind, like anger or frustration, or sadness, and we are mindful of it, then the mindfulness part is still wholesome. So there's still some wholesomeness present. And so in a way, being mindful is generating wholesomeness. So it is part of the four great efforts, part of the second part, so of the wholesome cultivation. And so the Buddha gives several ways to work with how to cultivate wholesomeness. And one of the things that is sometimes pointed out is that We cultivate wholesomeness by building good character, and developing our heart, developing our mind is an integral part of our practice. And so through the practice of mindfulness, we naturally develop our heart and mind. And so that's kind of, in a way, it's active because we need to be cultivating this mindfulness, but there are also more active ways to do this. And there's this Thai forest monk called Ajahn Suwat. And he says, when we meditate, we're training the mind, for we hold the mind to be very important. But training the mind is really difficult if we don't develop the right character habits. We have to depend on refined inner qualities for the training. We have to depend on refined inner qualities for the training, really, to go straight to the heart, because the heart itself is subtle and sensitive. And so, being aware of this possibility to develop this character habits, as Ajahn Suwat calls it, can help us to deal with them in a more conscious way. And like I'm thinking of right character habits as, for example, kindness, care, resilience, patience, tolerance, and also ethics, virtuous behavior, that the Buddha describes as the five precepts, for example. Five precepts of not harming, not stealing, not killing, not lying, not no sexual misconduct, and no intoxicating substances. And so through all of these kind of heart or mind qualities, we're developing what we could call quote unquote good character. And I think that by following this path, it will increasingly naturally lead towards more kindness, more resilience, more equanimity, compassion, etc. But we can, next to letting it arise naturally, we can also be a bit more active. And so I want to offer a few approaches to cultivating this well-being, this wholesomeness. And one of those is the four Brahma Viharas. And you might already be familiar with those, but Brahma Vihara roughly translates to sublime or heavenly abode. It's often translated as the immeasurables. And they are loving kindness or metta, like we did at the end of the meditation today, compassion or karuna, sympathetic joy or mudita, and equanimity or upekkha. And so the loving kindness is this heart quality where we wish well for ourselves and other beings, like we did in the meditation, the end of the meditation. Compassion is the loving kindness of metta directed towards suffering. And so if there's suffering in ourselves, in others, or in the world, then this compassion is the appropriate and natural response of the heart. Sympathetic joy is the loving kindness directed towards happiness and prosperity. And so if someone else or we ourselves experience happiness, prosperity, goodness in our lives, then mudita can naturally arise, this sympathetic joy. And then equanimity is this balanced state of being where we're not being tossed around by desire and resistance, but we stay balanced. We stay kind of in the middle, with the ups and downs of life. And this quality of upekkha can really support the other three Brahma Viharas by being, not thrown off balance by the other three. Like with compassion, we can be thrown off balance by the suffering of other beings, but equanimity helps us to stay in balance. And so these four heart qualities can really help us to actively generate wholesomeness and to maintain and nurture wholesomeness, because those are all very wholesome states of being. And there's this monk, Dhanasaro Bhikkhu, He says that that sublime attitudes, the Brahmaviharas, are the Buddha's primary heart teachings, the ones that connect us most directly with our desire for true happiness. So they're directly related to this desire for true happiness. And this desire for true happiness is actually a wholesome desire. And these four heart qualities are actually our natural state of being. And this means that if unwholesomeness of difficulty falls away, we can also say the defilements, as they're called, the kilesa, the three unwholesome roots of our existence, desire, aversion, and delusion, if they fall away or gradually diminished, then the four Brahmaviharas can naturally shine forth. And so it's like the defilements and the defilements of greed, aversion, and delusion, and their relatives like irritation, restlessness, attachment, indifference, jealousy, etc., etc. They are like clouds before this radiant sun of loving kindness, the radiant sun of compassion, sympathetic joy, and equanimity. And so, in this sense, if we look at those, it can be really useful to cultivate these four Brahmaviharas so that it's like we're making the sun a little stronger so it can pierce through the clouds. And so the cool thing is that through our normal mindfulness or insight meditation practice, we already observe kind of the unwholesomeness. We observe these clouds in the mind, and the wisdom aspect in the mind then starts to learn from all of these observations. And then at some point, we'll start to be able to pierce through the clouds as well. So mindfulness, just observing, just being with what is there, is already very helpful. And the Burmese monk Sayadaw Utechaniya, he says that wisdom, just like other aspects of the mind, like anger and peace and boredom, it's just an aspect of the mind. It's not us who is being wise. It's wisdom that's wise. It's anger that's angry and boredom that's bored. And so he says it's wisdom's job to be wise and boredom's job to be bored, etc. And so when we practice mindfulness, we observe these unwholesome states, and then insight and wisdom are being developed, which is very wholesome, of course. And the mindfulness itself is wholesome, the wisdom is wholesome, the insight is wholesome. And so we need this approach of mindfulness, seeing what's happening, and through seeing, observing what's happening, cultivating wisdom. We need that approach just as much as the second approach, which is the active practice of the Brahmaviharas, the loving kindness, compassion, joy, and equanimity. And there are special meditations for those. For each of those, there are special meditations. And these meditations, they use these phrases that we used at the end of the meditation today. But the Buddha actually gives different instructions for the four Brahmaviharas in the suttas, in the discourses, because those phrases come from a later commentary from Buddha Ghosa from the 5th century. And so what the Buddha actually says himself, I'll read the one from loving kindness. He says about loving kindness, but he mentions this exact same thing for each of the four Brahmaviharas. So he says, "One abides pervading one quarter with a mind imbued with loving kindness, likewise the second, likewise the third, likewise the fourth. So above, below, around, and everywhere, and to all as to oneself, one abides pervading the all-encompassing world with a mind imbued with loving kindness, abundant, exalted, immeasurable, without hostility and without ill will." And so the Buddha basically says, let's just pervade the whole world with a mind full of kindness or compassion or joy or equanimity. But for many of us, it's kind of difficult to just start radiating them out to all corners of the world. It's like if we just have the intention that it will flow out of us towards all directions and all beings. And because it's kind of difficult for most of us, I think maybe this monk in the 5th century, Buddha Ghosa, proposed these other instructions, the instructions of using phrases to develop those qualities in our hearts. And so to this day, since the 5th century, many Buddhists are actually using those instructions. And then once it starts flowing in the heart, we can start radiating it out. And so we don't have to always use the phrases. If it flows, we can also just kind of abide in it and let it flow out to the corners of the world. So the phrases are basically our support for cultivating the Brahma-viharas. They help us to get started, to get the engine going, so to speak. And metta, or loving kindness, is usually the one that's being taught the most and gets the most attention. It's also kind of the basis for the other ones, so it kind of makes sense. And so the standard phrases for metta are: may you be safe, may you be happy, may you be healthy, may you live in peace. And but you can have different phrases as well. There can be a lot of creativity with these phrases. Like I used, may you live with ease in this world, for example. And so we can just offer these phrases kind of in silence from our hearts towards other beings or towards ourselves. And there are also phrases for the other ones. And there's this daily or week every weekday, there's this thing on IMC called Happy Hour, where these qualities are being usually, that's kind of the basis of Happy Hour. They use these qualities, but also like forgiveness or other kind of beautiful qualities that make us happy. So if you're not familiar with them, you can look at Happy Hour and on Audio Dharma and see if you can find the specific meditations for those different qualities. And so Happy Hour in general is a great resource for cultivating wholesomeness. And they are usually an hour or so, including breakout rooms. So the recording is probably less than an hour. So that's a great resource if you're if you feel like you want to cultivate more wholesomeness in your life. And so I just want to offer a few practical ways to implement the four Brahma-viharas in our meditation and our daily life. And so you could, like, for example, just do your normal practice. And if you do your normal sit every day, then you can, for example, start your sit with a few minutes of metta or one of the other Brahma-viharas. And that can be very supportive because it kind of warms up the heart, especially if you use a being that is easy. And that's always kind of the advice with the four Brahma-viharas: use a being that's easy for you so that they actually can start to feel the flow of the metta or whatever Brahma-vihara you're using. And then if the heart is warmed like that and we do our normal practice, then when we are encountering difficulty or difficult states of mind, then we might have a slightly different relationship to the difficulty. There's a little bit more softness in our heart, and we can maybe relate to the difficulty with kindness, with care, with acceptance. And so it can be really supportive. And we can also do a dedicated Brahma-vihara sit, like just sit our whole intended period. And with the practice of one of the Brahma Viharas. Whenever we feel that's appropriate or inspiring to us to do that, we can do it like any time. And then in daily life, we can use the metta, the loving kindness, or the Brahma Viharas throughout the day. Like I use it throughout the day when I'm encountering other people, when I go to the grocery store and I see the cashier, I use the metta, or for other people in the grocery store, or when I go on a walk, I see different beings. I see humans, I see dogs, I see birds, I see squirrels, and I just offer metta to those beings when I'm on my walk. Or for we have a cat, and like every day, every morning when we wake up, the cat's ready to greet us, and I offer metta to the cat. So yeah, we can just offer these phrases to these beings, or we can radiate it out to them, whatever we feels available for us. Yeah, so all sorts of little things, little ways that we can incorporate this practice into our lives. And in this way, we generate more and more wholesomeness in our lives. The Buddha says, whatever we frequently think and ponder upon, that becomes the inclination of the mind. And by using the metta or the other Brahma Viharas regularly in our daily lives, in our practice as well, our inclination of the mind becomes more and more wholesome. And I want to like to end with a famous quote from the Buddha, from the Dhammapada. Hatred never ceases by hatred in this world. Only love does hatred cease. This is an eternal law.